Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind, it's alert. My heart, it's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Can you give God your best shout? Praise the Lord. Oh, you sound so good today. Well, I'm glad I came to church just to be with y'all. Amen. Open your Bible to the New Testament, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. We're finishing a series on living in the goodness of God. Living in the goodness of God. We've defined God's goodness as God's best, God's abundance, God's loving kindness, God's tender mercy. This is the goodness of God. The favor of God. Aren't you glad that the favor of God is on your life for the coming week? And not only the favor of God, but total prosperity. Now, I suggested you get a Strong's dictionary of the Bible. You look up the word goodness, and that's the definition. It's too good to be true, isn't it? It's God's best. It's abundant life. It's God's loving kindness. I'm so glad when I got up and walked my dog this morning at 5:45, Princess Anna. I'm so glad that there were new mercy for me this morning. Aren't you glad that His mercy is new every morning? Boy, He does that. You never run out of God's mercy on your life. So that's the goodness of God. We've defined it. And then we talked about, I gave you seven ways how to tap into it. Seven ways how to tap into the goodness of God. And then let me give you a takeaway. Because I think if you don't have a takeaway, when you come to church, your time has been wasted. I think you need a takeaway. I know I want a takeaway. And here's one. I want you to pray every day when you think about it, before you leave the house or the apartment or the condo. I want you to pray and say, God, give me a greater revelation of your goodness today. The number one most important revelation you and I can ever get of God is not about His greatness, and He is great. Not about His power, and He is all powerful. Not about His wisdom, and He is all knowing. But listen very carefully, heads up, ears open. The greatest revelation that you and I need of God is His goodness. Because when you get a picture, when you get a taste, when you get a revelation of the goodness of God, it changes the way you see God. Then it changes the way you see yourself and your family and the world and your future. So will you do that for me for the next week at least? For 7 days, will you do that for me? And pray and say, God, today give me a greater revelation of your goodness in my life. And then I want to give you something else. Can I do it? I want you to declare God's goodness over your life. Pray for a revelation and follow it through by declaring, God, I decree and I declare that the goodness of God is following me all the days of my life. Folks, until you declare it, God can't do it. The Bible says in Job 22, verse 28, you declare a thing, you decree a thing, that means say it. You declare a thing, you decree a thing, and the light of God, the favor of God will shine on it, and He will establish it. So for you and I to have God's mercy and goodness following us all the days of our life, we've got to start declaring the goodness of God over our life. We've got to watch less of the news and get into more of the good news and transform the way we think. Amen. So the goodness of God, we talked about it all month long. We need a revelation. God, give us a revelation every day. God, unfold new level. God, new revelation of your goodness every day on our life. That's so important because that's how you overcome panic attacks. That's how you overcome worry, fretting, fear. That's how you overcome depression. That's how you overcome rejection. That's how you overcome desperation, is get your eyes off your problems and get your eyes on the goodness of God. It's more than resisting fear and resisting worry and resisting panic and resisting poverty and lack and depression and desperation. You got to do more than resist it. You've got to replace it and focus on the goodness of God that He wants to pour out all over your life. Amen? So look with me in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And this is an amazing verse. I really like this verse. It says, "Oh, despisest thou the riches of His," what? "Goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing, he's saying, you don't know that it's the goodness of God that leads people to get born again. It's the goodness of God. Family, we know today that hellfire and brimstone doesn't work anymore. You know, back in the 80s, we used to have a group. They were a bunch of actors, and they would come in, and then they'd take people from our congregation and train them. They were called, you know, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And they come in, they put on these skits, and we'd invite all of our friends, and people would come, and they'd get scared. It was great. It worked. It would scare people into heaven and out of hell. But you know what I found out today? The age that you and I live in, you can't scare people out of hell into heaven. People today are way much more harder than they were in the 80s and the 90s. But really, the Bible, let's just go back to the basics. In the Bible, it says that it's the goodness of God seen on your life that will draw people to your God. It's the goodness of God on your life that will cause people to change the way they think. Let me show you from the Amplified Version. The Amplified Version, look what it says. It says, God's kindness is intended to lead you to change your mind. It's the goodness of God will change your mind and cause you to accept God's will for your life. Isn't that an amazing thought? It's when God wants to pour out His goodness on you and me because He loves us and He wants His best for us, but also it's a witnessing billboard to the world. When they see the goodness of God on you and how good God is to you and has been and is going to be, it will draw them, it will lead them. This morning between the services, we're out in the lobby and we're having our Kingdom Builder meetup out there. And I'm talking to one of the ladies. She walks up to me and she said, "Pastor, I didn't know you were that tall. You don't look that tall on the platform." I said, "Well, I am what I am. I can't change. I think I'm shrinking as I get older." But she said, "You sure are tall." I said, "Well, praise God. What's your name?" She said, "My name's Patty." I said, "Patty, tell me your story." She said, "Pastor, this church has changed my life. This church has changed my life." And I wouldn't let her get away. I said, "Patty, explain, tell me, how did this church change your life?" She said, "Pastor, I've only been coming a few weeks." And she said, "My life was a mess. My life was a wreck." And she said, I felt like my life was at a dead end and it was over. And she said, "One day I was just driving by the church." She goes, "I was just driving by this church." And she said, "I seen the cars." How many know your car can be a witness? She said, "I seen the cars and I thought, man, all those cars and all those people, there must be something going on. I think I'll stop and go in." Patty stopped. Patty was drawn, I believe, by the goodness of the Lord on your life. She came, got born again. She's now a Kingdom Builder at Church on the Rock. Isn't that an amazing story? The goodness of God is so powerful that it can change the way people think, their paradigm. There can be a shift. They can just change the way they think and then open up their heart and want to accept God's will. No longer do they fear God and what God wants to do with their life. They are excited about it. You know, let me tell you my story. You know, I gave my heart to Christ when I was 11 years old. So up until 11 years old, my family didn't go to church. My mom and dad were backslidden Pentecostal folk. They had gotten born again before I was ever born, and then they backslid and went back out into the world. And so growing up as a little guy, you know, we didn't go to church. And what would happen is on Saturday nights, my mom and dad, they would have their friends come over and they would play cards and they would, you know, drink and have a little party. But all their friends had kids my age and they'd come over. And while our parents on Saturday night, they were playing cards and boozing it up and having a party, we'd be watching those old sci-fi movies, you know, like the 50-Foot Woman and The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And those are awesome. Amen. And we'd watch those old sci-fi movies, and then you know what we do as the kids? We'd have popcorn. Now, folks, let me just give all you young folks, let me give you, there were no microwaves. My mom, can some of you relate? She had a popcorn maker that you put it in, and you turn the heat up on the stove, put some oil in there, and you cranked it. Yeah, and boy, then it'd pop over, it'd overflow. We'd have popcorn, and then we'd have pop. You know what pop is, don't you? It's soda. And if you're from the north, it's pop. And we'd have pop. We'd have Pepsi, and we'd put that Pepsi in a bottle. It's better in a bottle, y'all. And we have it in a bottle. And as kids, we put it in the freezer just long enough to get a little ice in that Pepsi. We'd pull it out. We'd have that ice-cold Pepsi in that bottle, fresh popcorn, butter all over it. Watch the sci-fi. This is Saturday night. Well, Sunday morning, now this is true. God, fry me if I'm lying. I'm in kindergarten. I'm in first and second grade. On Sunday morning, I had an older brother, an older sister. They're both in heaven today, but they stayed in bed. I was in the same bedroom as my brother, Rick, and we had bunk beds. And he'd stay in bed on Sunday morning. My sister, Cheryl, she'd stay in bed on Sunday morning. My mom and dad, they would stay in bed, and I, on my own, as a kindergartner, would get up, dress myself, and walk 3 blocks and go to Sunday school on Sunday morning. And you say, Pastor, where were you at, on another planet? Well, you know, it was years ago. It was in southern Iowa. It was in a town like Mayberry. You know Andy Griffith? And don't get down on Andy Griffith. That was John Osteen's favorite show to watch. It really was. And it was like Mayberry. You know, I grew up in that little town. You didn't have to lock your doors at night. You didn't have to lock the doors on your cars. Some of you are looking at me, that's so foreign, Pastor. I mean, you know what my mom and dad would do on the front door? They had this old porch at our house, and it had a screen door and then a wooden door. At night, they'd leave the wooden door open so the air could come through, the wind could blow through the screen door all night long. Oh, my goodness. And so that was a different age. It was a different time. So on Sunday morning, I would get up as a kindergartner. I'm in kindergarten, first, second grade. You can ask my family. And I would get up and dress myself. And my dad, he didn't send me. They didn't make me. They didn't tell me. There was something. I was marked on the inside. There was something drawing me on the inside. My parents didn't get it. My dad would say on Saturday night, oh, Dave, here's a little bit of an offering. Take that and give it to Sunday school. And what I would do on Sunday morning, there was a bakery on the way. I guess that's why I still like to give you all donuts around here. Praise the Lord. But wasn't that amazing? And I would go there. First grade, second grade, kindergarten, and they still, nobody would go to Sunday school with me. I'd get up and I'd go and I'd come home. And they gave me a children's Bible at Sunday school. And by my bed, my brother and I had bunk beds, and by my bed had a nightstand with a lamp on it. And I put that children's Bible there. My folks didn't have a Bible in the house. I'd pull that Bible out. I would read it as a first and second grader. But folks, what am I talking about? There was something, I think it was the Spirit of God drawing me. And I think it wasn't my parents' prayers, because they weren't praying. It was my grandma's prayers. She was born again, Spirit-filled. Don't mess with that lady. And I really think it was my grandmother. I really think it was her prayers that God was using. And you know what was happening? It was drawing me, the goodness of God. As a little guy, I just began to see God as a good God. And that God loved me. That God cared about me. Amazing what the goodness of God will do in someone's life. And here this verse says, it's the goodness of God on your life that will lead people. You know, John Brown, a member of our church and his lovely family, he was speaking out in the lobby. He's an anchor on Fox 2 here locally. He was talking about that this morning. How the goodness of God on his life in the media opens up doors for him to be able to share Christ where he wouldn't be able to do it any other way. God wants to pour out his blessing. God wants you to look behind every day of your life and see that mercy and goodness are following you all the days of your life. So let's look at the greatest chapter in the Bible on the goodness of God. The greatest chapter, it's loaded for bear. It's six verses. It's Psalm 23. Let's look at it. Psalm 23, verse 1. We're going to read all six verses. I'm going to extract. It's called expository teaching. I'm going to extract some principles on what, when you look at the goodness of God, what it'll do for you. So let's look at it. The Lord is my shepherd. Boy, we want to make sure that the Lord is our shepherd, right? That we're not our own shepherd. That our boss, our career, our hobby, our friends, our family, the government, our culture is not our shepherd. We want to make sure that the good shepherd, Jesus, is our shepherd. And we are his sheep. And folks, did you know as a sheep, you have benefits? You have benefits as a sheep. You have benefits as a Christian, as a Christ follower. When you make Jesus the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd over your life, what's the benefits that are going to happen? I shall not want. He and he alone is the only one that can meet all of our needs. Am I right, church? So really, Jesus, what does he do daily as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd? What does he do? He feeds us daily. He feeds us. And then what does he do? He leads us. And then what does he do? He intercedes for us. He's at the right hand of the Father right now praying for you and your family. So he feeds us. He leads us. He intercedes for us. He meets all of our needs. And then he wants you to succeed every day of your life. Next verse, verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures and he leads me beside the still waters. What's that, family? Rest. A benefit of looking at the goodness of God and saying, God, reveal your goodness to me, God, today. Greater revelation. A benefit of that is rest should come over your soul. Folks, in a world full of unrest, you and I need a whole lot of rest. In a world full of stress, we need God's rest. The Bible says they couldn't enter into the promised land because they didn't enter into God's rest. Folks, you and I are not in God's best if we're at unrest. You and I have to have that peace, that stillness, that sense of rest in order to enter into God's best. I'll never have God's best until I have God's peace. And God's rest and God's peace comes from looking at his goodness. Oh my. Next verse. So you and I, we don't have to be in panic. We don't have to be in terror. We don't have to be in fear. We don't have to give up. We don't have to be dejected, rejected, feel inferior. We don't have to go through life with complex or dysfunctional. That he's our shepherd and he'll meet every need we have physically, emotionally, financially, relational, and spiritual. He feeds us. He leads us. He intercedes for us. He meets all of our needs and he helps us succeed. Amen. So what does he do? He gives us rest through this peace. And then he restores my soul. He restores my soul. So restoration is a part of the goodness of God. And you know, whatever has been stolen from you, the Bible says you can claim a sevenfold return on that. Whatever's been stolen from you, if you catch the thief, the Bible says he has to restore seven times back to you. So the goodness of God, when I look at the goodness of God, it releases a restoration spirit coming on my life. I begin to have hope. I begin to be happy and joy, and I begin to have direction. I begin to realize that my best days are ahead of me and that I honor my past, but I'm committed to my future. That's huge. Benefits of the goodness of God. Next verse, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And if you've lived long enough, we all know you will go through a valley of the shadow of death. But notice, you will go through. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, right now, with all that's going on in our culture, in our world, in our country, in our community, in our county, in our city, in our village, in our neighborhood, all that's going on, I mean, it could drive you crazy if you didn't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But when you have him, you don't have to fear anything in any season of your life. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. God is for you. God is also with you wherever you go. So when you and I begin to focus on the goodness of God, what does it do? We whip worry. We overcome fear and replace it by focusing on God. You are a good God today. And I'm going through a dark season, but I trust in your goodness. So God, you're going to take everything I don't understand and you're going to work it together for my good. Go ahead, give the Lord a great praise. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's the answer, the presence of God. Today, if you're battling fear and anxiety and panic, you just need to get in the presence of the Lord. What do? Put on the garment of praise, for the spirit of heaviness. What do? In his presence is fullness of joy. How do you get in his presence? You start praising him. You start worshiping him. You start thanking him for his goodness that's following you all the days of your life. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they bring comfort. So a shepherd had two tools. They had a rod and a staff. One was for protection. One was for direction. One was for protection. One was for direction. And he said, if you'll focus on the goodness of God and all these benefits, it will bring comfort to you. It'll bring, where there's confusion, it'll bring guidance and direction. Where you have anxiety and you're worrying over your kids going back to school this year or going away to college this year, you don't have to worry when you put them in God's hands. God, through his rod and his staff, he will direct them and he will protect them because you've committed them into his hands. These are all benefits of the goodness of God. When you look at it, next verse, verse 5, you prepare a table. You preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So folks, you and I can either focus on our enemies today, or we can focus on the king's table. We can focus on our enemies. Pastor, do we have enemies? Oh yeah. Pastor, who are our enemies? Well, our enemies, you have three. No, Pastor, I have a dozen. No, you have three. No, Pastor, you don't know my relatives. No, you just got who I work with. No, you got three. You know who they are? The world system is your enemy. The culture of this world is your enemy. Number two, Satan is your enemy. Number three, our flesh is our enemy. We've only got three contenders. We've only got three contenders in the ring. And number one is the world culture, and they are coming around you. Satan is coming against you. Your flesh is within you. But the good news is how I can overcome the world and the persecution that you might be going through right now, how you overcome the world How you overcome the devil and quench every fiery dart he sends your way. How you overcome every addiction, every habit, every thought, every hurt, every scar, every mar inside you and your emotions. Here's how you do it, church. Change your focus and look at the King's table. You know, I like that old movie, Robin Hood. It was done way back like in the 30s, had Errol Flynn in it. And you'd see Errol Flynn, you know, he was king of cool back then. He'd come swinging into the king's court, and the king had all of his people there, and they were on that long king's table, and they were eating food. That's the king's table. The table that you and I are to look at is not the one you see at McDonald's. Nothing wrong with that, okay? But what he's saying here is, I've prepared for you in the Hebrew, it brings it out for the word king. Table, it's a king's table. So you and I, instead of focusing on our problems and our pressure and our pain and our panic, we should be focusing on the provision that's on the king's table. Well, Pastor, what is it? Asparagus? Is it broccoli? Is it filet mignon? Is it barbecued ribs? Is it Chinese? Pastor, what's on there? Is it pizza? What's on there? 7,000 promises are on that table. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So you have a Bible, that's the king's table. That is the antidote for the pressure, the persecution, the racism, the bigotry, the mistrust, the wars, the rumors of wars, the hatred, the strife, the abortion, the dysfunction. That's the answer to all of it. King's table. Come on, somebody, give the Lord a good praise. King's table. So you preparest. You know, he's already prepared. That's really in the tense. It's past tense. What does that mean, Pastor? It means he's gone before next week of your week. And he knows everything that's going to come against you. And he's prepared a feast for you. That if you'll go and feed yourself, you'll overcome the world. You'll overcome the devil. And you'll overcome your flesh. Oh, my goodness. Thank you. In the presence of my enemy, thou anointest my head with oil. These are all benefits of looking at the goodness of God. You anoint my head. Out of my head comes my thought process, what I'm thinking, I'm feeling, what I'm thinking are my attitudes, what I'm thinking, I'm believing, what I'm believing, I'm receiving, what I'm believing is my behavior. You want to change your children's behavior, you got to change their thought process. Amen. So notice that when you think about the goodness of God, there's an anointing that comes from that, that will transform the way you think. And then your thoughts will be agreeable with his thoughts. And his thoughts are always higher than our thoughts. Isn't he a good God today? Anything good that's going on in our life today has got to be God. Anything good, it's got to be God. He says that my cup runneth over. So when you think about the goodness of God, you may think about giving up like Patty did. But she was drawn here, and she went from a world of being, you know, overwhelmed to this morning I saw her, and she was overflowing with the joy of the Lord. When you think about the goodness of God, it gets you out of the mully grubs. It gets you out of that pity party. It gets you from thinking about what I don't have, who I don't know, where I can't go. And you begin to think about, wow, look what God is preparing for me. Look what God is scheduling in my future. All 7,000 promises, every book, every promise in the book is mine. Every verse, every dot, every line. Amen. One more verse. Can you handle one more? One more verse. He ends it with, this is all the benefits of the goodness of God. He says, goodness and mercy will follow you, not some. I got a question. Are you expecting every day or just some of your days, or just once in a while, or just when the sun's out, to see the goodness of the Lord in your life. The Bible way is that we're to declare it every day and expect to see it every day in our life. You know, a few years ago, several years ago, when we were on television more than we are now, you know, we had some stalkers. Kim and I had some stalkers over in that building. Everybody say years ago. And we had some stalkers, and seriously, they wanted to do us harm. And the sheriff's department and our team here said, Pastor, you need to wear a bulletproof vest every time you speak. And I wasn't trying to be stupid or whatever. It just, I didn't want to wear it because it wouldn't look good in my suit. I said, you know, I just don't really want to wear it. You need to wear that bulletproof vest. I said, you know what? I'm covered. I got two guys chasing me every day, following me every day. What's their names? Goodness and Mercy. My two angels, I know what their names are. Goodness, they're following me all. They're following you all the days of your life. So he says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Can I give you my sermon now? Here's 3 points. Look there, goodness. Everyone say goodness, and then say grace, and then say glory. Three words, letter G. Notice he says that goodness will surround you every day of your life. The Bible says in Psalm 5, verse 11, that the goodness of God surrounds you like a shield. So here's what I want you to get in your mind, is that the goodness of God is all over you. The goodness of God surrounds you. Then number two, the grace of God is at work within you. The goodness of God surrounds you. The goodness, the favor, the goodness of God surrounds you. It's going to follow you all the days of your life. But the grace of God, which is the mercy of God, is at work within us. And then number three, future tense. When he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord, he wasn't talking about the temple or the tabernacle. He's talking about heaven. He was talking, and David was talking about the future. So what he was talking about was the future glory in heaven that Jesus is going to share with his family. So here's the mindset with the goodness of God on our life, is that God's goodness surrounds us, God's grace is at work within us, and God's glory is scheduled in all of our future.